There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your settings. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the fangirl zone.
Welcome to the Marvelous Post Blip Podcast, a podcast on all things Marvel on the Fangirl Zone. I'm Hulk Steve.
And I'm Sean Fangirl S. And today we're talking about episode 4 of the miniseries Secret Invasion, titled Beloved, written by Kyle Bradstreet, Brian Tucker, and Jonathan Hirschbein, and directed by Ali Salim.
Well, after last week's shocking ending, this one just doubled down.
Oh, yes. I agree with you.
The cat and mouse game that Fury and his Vara played was amazing, I thought. And it was sad to see Gaia basically give up on her dad. I don't know if she's going to try to take out Gravik and lead the revolution herself. That might be worse.
I don't know, because after watching the entire thing, like if you take it bit by bit, you're like, oh, man, oh, no, oh, come on. And then when you watch the entirety, you're like, oh, this is going to come back and bite Gravik in the ass, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That it's going to be a lot worse and people are going to turn. And like you said, Gaia probably rising up is going to be a good thing for the Skrull.
Right. Maybe. Talos was just begging her that, give me time and the humans will accept us the way we are. We can't accept ourselves, Talos. You should know that by now.
Right. Well, shall we jump into the very long recap, Steve?
Yes, it's maybe one word longer than last week's.
Okay, prepare yourselves, everyone. Fury must make some hard sacrifices. Ooh, that was a lot. That took a lot out of me.
Yeah. Oh, Beloved follows on quite neatly from two of the major cliffhangers in episode 3, but it also introduces a much more pressing threat against U.S. President Ritson and potentially kills off a major character at the last minute. So let's address all these things in turn.
So first, I know we'll probably get to it, but we were both wrong about Ritson.
Right.
So that was a surprise. So I'm just throwing that one out there.
Right.
I really thought it was going to go a different way, but obviously no.
Yeah. And how Rhodey survived that, all that, I don't know.
Is Gaia alive? Last week's episode ended by suggesting that Gravik, who had figured out Gaia was a traitor, had subsequently shot her dead. This week's episode walks that decision back by revealing that she quickly turned herself into a Super Skrull the moment before she left New Skrullos, which I thought was interesting because as we were watching, I had to go back a couple times because my husband was not paying attention.
Right.
He's like, wait a minute, what happened? I'm like, watch. And he's like, wait, I don't understand. So like twice we went backwards for him to like, for it to click. That's right. The doctor, da, da, da. And I'm like, apparently it wasn't that hard of a thing, though, to do.
No.
I feel like turning into a Super Skrull would be a little bit more painful and more than one dose. But obviously, no. Her new abilities, the extent of which we are not entirely aware of yet, include healing, thankfully, because she was able to survive that gunshot. Gravik at this point thinks she's dead. So we're happy with that.
Right.
Because he doesn't think. I'm thinking, okay, let me finish a sentence. My brain is all over the place because this had me like super squirrel brain.
Right.
So I feel like Gravik had a feeling she was a traitor for a while.
Right.
But he didn't think that she knew as much as she did and that she was as talented as she is to be able to turn herself into a super soldier.
Right.
So that,
that's where he miscalculated how far she would actually go.
Yeah. That's why I'm thinking that's what's going to come back and bite him.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which is good for us, I think.
Maybe.
Despite having turned against Gravik, though, Gaia is still more radical than Talos and thinks his plan to just blithely keep helping humans with their problems until they grant the Skrulls amnesty is delusional. again, she was on the other side for a little too long. So frankly, yeah. She might be right, though, because, you know, humanity isn't always the best.
No,
I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, we haven't reached Star Trek level humanity.
If only.
Yeah.
The possibility of her new extremist power turns Gaia into a villain is a definite possibility. Is it very high? I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Because I still feel like she's still, like, good. You know, that's why she was trying to stop stuff from happening.
Right, yeah. She wasn't ready, wasn't behind the mass killings of people.
So, yeah, this is going to be up in the air.
Yeah. Speaking of extremists, we also learned last week that Nick Fury's wife, Priscilla, is also a radicalized Skrull in league with Gravik. She arranged a meeting with Rhodey at the end of the previous episode, and she meets with him here in a church where he gives her the assignment of killing her husband. Before this, though, we get another flashback that will become relevant later. In it, Fury and Priscilla bond over the Raymond Carver poem, Last Fragment. The words of the poem resonate in the present day. Since Fury had Priscilla bugged and overheard her entire exchange with Rhodey, realizing at the same time that War Machine is a Skrull, he's ready for her when she returns to their country home to execute him. Fury and Priscilla have a conversation that's loaded in more ways than one. During it, Priscilla reveals how she gained her human form from a doctor who was dying of a congenital heart defect in exchange for three promises: to bury her at sea, to continue being a daughter to her parent, and to never hurt Nick.
That last one? I was like,
yes.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Having kept only two of those promises, Priscilla joins her husband in reciting the lines of that poem as they both draw their weapons and fire at each other. Both deliberately miss.
Now, it took me a second because you heard the shot and they showed, like, the hallway.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, what just happened?
Yeah.
And then that slow reveal, it's like, oh Lord, they're messing with me.
Yes,
they're messing
big time.
With me.
Yep. Priscilla might have turned against Gravik and put herself at risk for Fury's sake, but the marriage doesn't seem to be in good shape, and Fury's parting words, I guess we'll never know, in response to his wife asking him if he had loved her had she remained her true self, lend a note of finality to the relationship.
That was heartbreaking.
Yeah, that was.
Because it wasn't like a super sad thing, but it was like, oh.
Yeah.
That's like seeing a puppy crying, kind of. It's
yes.
Like, oh, no. Yeah, that was rough. Because you're never going to see Fury break down. Like, they're never going to show him, like, totally defeated and crying and everything. And I think that was probably about as low as we're going to see him.
Right.
And I think that really shows how hurt he was.
Yep.
But after this whole exchange, Fury goes to see Rhodey in his hotel suite, a.k.a. breaking in. And hey, it was a female Skrull impersonating him, which is treated as a little fun reveal, but I have no idea if it's going to matter either way. Fury obviously knows about Rhodey's true nature now, but he doesn't give that away. Instead, he tricks him into drinking a glass of Pappy Van Winkle's Family Reserve Bourbon. I can get down with some bourbon, so, you know, good choice. Which we subsequently learn has been laced with a liquid tracker. He literally told him.
Yes, he did.
Which I thought was hilarious.
Nanobot.
This tracker leads Fury and Talos right to the attack on President Ritson's motorcade by Gravik and his forces, all posing as Russians for the purposes of stoking a geopolitical calamity. Now, you had mentioned really quick you didn't know how Rhodey, you know, made it through everything.
Right.
I want to know how nobody noticed Rhodey didn't get out of the car.
Right. Yeah. He never left his vehicle.
Right. It's like, don't you think that should have been a thing?
Yeah. Certainly would have.
Right.
And this episode bows out with a very expensive looking action sequence, which sadly claims the life of Talos, or it seems to anyway. Since this is becoming the kind of show that never commits to minor quibbles like deaths, it's hard to fully buy into the idea that Talos is gone for good, but I suspect in this case he might be. Gravik killing him.
Safe.
Yeah, nobody's safe, that's for sure. Gravik killing him will serve two purposes: to incense Fury even further, and make their relationship even more personal, and I suspect radicalize Gaia into a villain. This episode ends with Fury in possession of a still-living Ritson, though we know his presidency is coming to an end sooner rather than later, perhaps as early as next week.
See, I don't think this is going to make Gaia a villain exactly. She might end up being like, what is it? I don't want to say an anti-hero, but yeah, kind of
an ally. Like,
kind of a bad guy, but a good guy, like Venom.
Yeah.
But Ritson, I think we had known, was going to not be on long anyway.
Right.
But I thought it was kind of weird, too. None of the other ones are like, oh, okay, here, let me help with Ritson. It's like, no, what's going on? And how did Fury know who was holding Talos?
Right.
Like, there was questions there for me.
Yeah, because it seemed like there was another, you know, right after Gravik's people show up, we get another group show up that it seemed like Fury had gotten a hold of.
Right, they were reinforcements, but where did they come from?
Where did they come from, and how did Fury get a hold of them?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions.
Yep.
But we got two more episodes for them to answer.
Yes.
Fully. All right, Easter egg. We get another de-aged Nick Fury from the 2012 Avengers. As with episode 2 and 3, episode 4 continues to fill in the blanks of Fury's past with the Skrulls. Their primary flashback took place in 2012, shortly after the Battle of New York, shown in the Avengers. Like the flashbacks of Secret Invasion episode 2 and 3, it featured a de-aged Sam Jackson. As a 1990s Nick Fury, episode 4 showed the character as he was in Avengers, clean-shaven, complete with black trench coat, eye patch, and all his Fury emulated his appearance as the man who was responsible for uniting the Avengers in the first place. During the flashback of 2012, Fury is shown meeting with Vara in a Parisian restaurant. Very nice. Vara says that she's been seeing news reports of those heroics going on over in the state before the camera pans down to a newspaper sitting on the table. And I will probably screw this up, even though it's pretty simple, but the newspaper reads, Les Avengers, la Battaglia de New York, which I think I just mixed all sorts of different languages in one there. So I apologize.
Sorry, Flint.
I took Spanish. I didn't do very well. I'm sorry. But it translates to the Avengers Battle for New York, which was kind of the subtitle anyway.
Yep.
This is obviously a reference to 2012's movie, another Avengers Easter egg in Secret Invasion. The title of Secret Invasion Episode 4 is Beloved, which has several meanings concerning the show's context. The first element of the episode that the title references is a poem that Fury and Vara were shown to connect over. The poem involves one person asking another what they wanted from life. The answer to that question is to call myself beloved, feel myself beloved. It was a really sweet poem.
Yes, it was.
Very short. I liked it.
Yes, 4 lines or something.
Another meaning of this title connects to Fury and Vara through the poem. The words are uttered again later in the episode in reference to the flashback scene of episode 4. It references the love Fury and Vara had for one another, insisting that both of them wished to be called beloved themselves. Another meaning of the title of this poem is about the Skrulls. The final line is to feel myself beloved on the earth, links to how the Skrulls feel, both Talos's group and Gravik's. Although I think Gravik's just wanted a home. So
yeah, they were going to take one.
The Skrulls just want a home. And much of the political intrigue of Secret Invasion, at least in Talos' case, has surrounded the fact that whether humans would be tolerant of another species on Earth, linking to that idea of feeling beloved on the planet. Gravik's group is taking the line to another extreme, taking the Earth for themselves so they can feel beloved among each other without threat of humans. And I feel like, okay, at this point, timeline-wise, we already have Thor's people.
Right.
So why not just be like, hey, we're here, we need refuge.
Right.
I don't know.
Live in Russia. Now, large portions of episode 4 take place in the Vara and Fury's home, in which an Easter egg to the Inhumans and X-Men is found. On the wall in the house, an image can be seen presenting a book by either Vara or her human host, Priscilla. The title of the book is Decoding the Superhuman Gene, which is a reference to either the Inhumans or X-Men. Throughout the MCU, superheroes have been referenced as having superhuman gene until Ms. Marvel, with that show seemingly confirming Kamala Khan as a mutant. In Marvel Comic, Inhumans and X-Men are somewhat similar as their powers come from a different genetic code, something that has not been the case for MCU heroes like Captain America, Iron Man, or Thor. This book is therefore a reference to the different genetic structures of Inhumans and X-Men, furthering the setup of either one or both of these groups appearing in the MCU's future.
I really did not catch that.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, I love that they're sneaking that in there.
Yes.
Because they're supposed to bring the X-Men in at some point. The Inhumans, I think after the television series, they may not be doing that with them.
No, I kind of think not. In episode 4, Fury confronts the Skrull version of Rhodey with a bottle of bourbon. After Fury presents Rhodes with the glass, the latter asks if he should be worried about poison. This is an Easter egg to Secret Invasion episode 2 and the first meeting between Fury and Rhodes. In that earlier scene, Rhodes is the one who gives Fury a drink, with the latter asking if he should be worried about poison the first time. The scene in episode 4 reverses this, and a nice callback to the best scene in episode 2. After Skrulls Rhodes asks about the poison in episode 4, Fury jokingly responds that there's nanotech in the drink instead. Since Avengers Infinity War, nanotech has become an integral part of the MCU, from being used in various superhero suits to weaponry and other practical applications. Nanotech has been regularly used throughout the MCU. Fury's joke is a neat reference to this, all the while stemming from the poison Easter egg in episode 2.
Why didn't they use the poison? Like, he could have done that and really messed with them.
Yes, absolutely.
Although when Rhodey had dropped about, oh, I have a bunch of copies of this.
Yes.
The shooting, that could have been really bad.
Yep.
Okay. There's still more.
Yep.
How much more? In 2012's Avengers, Fury has minimal action sequences beside Loki's invasion of the helicarrier midway through the film. However, towards the end of the film, he has an exciting moment in which he uses a rocket launcher to bring down a plane carrying a nuclear missile to New York. Yeah, that was pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
Episode 4 references this, with Fury again using a grenade launcher. It's a very small one, though.
Yes.
To bring down one of Gravex's helicopters in that climactic battle scene. And it was interesting, he does it, then he just kind of throws it off to the side, like, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Do you not reuse stuff? What's going on?
Yeah.
Reduce, reuse, recycle. Come on, Fury.
Yeah. That might have given you a better chance of taking Gravik out.
Yeah, but it could have taken out a whole lot of people behind him, too.
Yeah.
After episode 3 reveals the extremist powers of the Super Skrulls, episode 4 furthered the power-based Easter eggs of the MCU by having Gravik use Groot's powers, which kind of pissed me off. I don't know about you.
Yes.
In the climactic scene of episode 4, Gravik used his newfound powers to grab a Secret Service agent and kill him. Gravik used Groot's tree roots to reach out and grab the agent before squeezing him to death. That was kind of gross, but...
Yep.
After his extensive use of Extremis and Groot's powers, it becomes an interesting Easter egg that the other two Super Skrull powers are yet to be used. In episode 2, Gaia viewed the DNA sample being used for Super Skrulls, Groot and Extremis, but also Cull Obsidian from Avengers Infinity War and Frost Beast from Thor Dark World. The latter two samples are yet to be showcased in Secret Invasion, which promises big reveals concerning what Gravik can do with his abilities going into the final two episodes. Now, Cull Obsidian had like magic though, right?
I think so. I don't think they could have given him magic, but maybe they can.
Maybe it was like he can float or something. And then the frost beast, I don't know. I thought it was like a big animal.
Yeah.
I don't know what it would be.
Yeah.
Like what powers. I don't know. It should be interesting to see what's going to happen then with all of it.
Yes, absolutely. And we would love to hear your thoughts on each and every episode this season. Our deadline for feedback is 6 p.m. Eastern every Friday during the season. You can send your feedback via email or audio to contact us at fangirlzone.com. Please review and rate us on iTunes and any other platform you use for your podcasts. With good ratings and reviews, it helps other fans of the show find us, as there are plenty of other Marvel podcasts out there. Tell your friends, and we do hope you're enjoying our podcast. And don't forget to check out the other great Fangirl Zone podcasts.
You can go over to www.fangirlzone.com. Check out all of our other podcasts, because we have so many. And you can go on our contacts page with all of the ways to get a hold of us. And you can send us any of your feedback, any of your questions, any of your thoughts on any of the shows you're watching, and we'll answer you, even if it's after the season. It is totally fine. We love talking to you. And if you see us out and about, make sure you come up and talk to us about your shows, because we love talking to everyone, because we all fangirl about everything. So for this episode of the Marvelous Post-Split Podcast,
I'm Hulk Steve. But let me tell you, if you waste one drop of this family reserve, I guarantee you your ancestors will reach out from the beyond and struggle your black ass.
And I'm Sean Fangirl-S, and until next time.